I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
Introducing Bro on the Global Television Beat, a new feature that covers the best in world television in the age of streaming and serial TV. Episode 1, Stephen Knight's A Christmas Carol, Dickens in the Age of Neoliberalism. This week highlights the eternal relevance, and not just on the holidays, of a capitalist Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, and Alfred Hitchcock's persistent critique of the hypocrisy of 50s corporate values, both more in evidence today than ever. Stephen Knight is one of the best writers in the serial TV era. The creator of Peaky Blinders and the even better Taboo had seemed to regress. His Apple TV Plus series C, just renewed for a second season, is a gimmicky, post-apocalyptic, highly masculinized show depicting a pre-feudal world where everyone is both blind and warlike. Much more to the point, and a return to the capitalist savagery of Taboo, is his latest effort, his version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, a BBC production available in the US on FX. The tale has been softened so much in recent retellings and in repeated holiday broadcasts of Capra's watered-down version, It's a Wonderful Life, with Jimmy Stewart's confused and curmudgeon-y Scrooge, that it had lost all pretenses to laying bare the old man's greed, replaced instead by an array of Scrooges with a bumbling lack of conscience that, if restored, would make them whole. Knight's retelling could not be more up-to-date and less Christmassy, with Scrooge restored to his original savage vigor. His cold calculations remind us of Jeff Bezos, whose wealth increased by $8 billion recently, but who paid no income tax last year and regulates his workers' bathroom breaks. So too this Scrooge, called Eb, which is business shorthand for Ebenezer. He's not old, but in his prime. We understand, through the course of the three episodes, how this buyer and stripper of companies, much like today's hedge fund managers and investment bankers, acquired his wealth. Penny-pinching his employees, he orders his accountant Cratchit to put in a full day on Christmas Eve, one of the few times Cratchit spends with his family. Much worse is his climb to the top with his now-deceased partner. The show begins with a young, impoverished boy urinating on the partner's grave, and we find out they're cutting corners in their businesses, resulted in a mine disaster and a fire in one of their factories, killing many of their workers. Scrooge and his partner's only concern is how to avoid liability, that is, any chance of being sued. This is on the social level. On the personal level, we learn that Eb has in his past humiliated and sexually abused Cratchit's wife, played by an Afro-British actress. We know that colonial abuse was a feature of a British imperialism propelled by slavery, which was still a covert part of the empire in the 1840s when the show takes place. We also learn that the personal source of this evil was Scrooge's own sexual abuse as a kid, sold by his father to a boarding school headmaster in exchange for free tuition. Everywhere on serial TV these days, there is this darkening of the traditionally glowing stories often dredged up from the 50s or early 60s, as evidenced even in DC's Titans, where the teenage superheroes and their older teachers struggle with sadism, alcoholism, and a broken-down family structure. The neoliberal age of precarity is a meaner age than the recently passed Fordist era of guaranteed incomes and pensions, and there is a resulting strain on all kinds of social relations picked up on contemporary TV. It's impossible even to do a teen superhero show, and comics once the most innocuous of genres, that will attract an audience without taking up the pall that is cast over the lives of this current generation. Knight brilliantly in A Christmas Carol, as he did in Taboo with the villainous British East India Company, takes us back to a more savage era of capitalism, that of the rise of the industrial economy, fueled by men like Eb, whose only morality is money. Today, we have the same mentality, but the greed has a smiling face. If you think the Scrooge tale is outdated, witness Trump's cutting food stamps in 2019 just prior to Christmas. Or, in France, Macron's provoking a strike by proposing to drastically cut the pension system, which forced many workers to spend their Christmas holiday on the picket line instead of home with their families. His retort to this cruelty was to ask for a truce at the exact moment when the strike, now a limited weapon at best, would have maximum impact, claiming that he, the impoverisher of working people's families, was a family man himself and their friend. These two are Scrooge and Armani suits, but no less cruel for their effect on their own working class, or on an underclass of immigrants, and now also on middle-class Bob Cratchits. Dickens' version was too sentimental at the end, and in Knight's retelling, Scrooge repents but is not forgiven by Cratchit's wife. Not all ignominy is redeemable. Knight does point also to the liberal reformism that was part of Dickens' worldview. Scrooge is told that love is the answer, in this case meaning the way that those oppressed by the system endure, and as such, is the antidote to revolution. A stronger way of saying this, and of breaking out of the left neoliberal bind, where the solution is to put a tourniquet on the wound, is instead to maintain that changing or overturning a cruel system is to practice love. For the most part, though, Knight's exquisite writing and Guy Pearce's unrelentingly hardened Scrooge rewrite and update Dickens, reminding us that the wheels are turning backward in this more vicious era of capitalism. Naked greed over ever-decreasing resources returns us to an earlier no-hold-bars era of corporate Scrooges, but now with the might and weight of government fully behind them. Speaking of eternal returns, an often overlooked part of Alfred Hitchcock's corpus is the shows he supervised, and a few of which he directed in the 1950s anthology series Alfred Hitchcock Presents. The master would dryly introduce and conclude what he referred to as our story tonight, often insidious critiques from the inside of 50s America, all ending in a bitter twist, and some calling attention to a society whose repressed contradictions could not but come to the surface. Three stirring examples of the latter, all of which Hitchcock directed, are Lamb to the Slaughter, Breakdown, and Poison, all available on YouTube. In the first, Barbara Bel Geddes, who the same year starred in Vertigo, Hitchcock's consummate masterpiece, is a fastidious pregnant housewife. When she announces that a midwife has pronounced her baby to be a boy, she is met by her cop husband's demand for a divorce. He literally turns his back on her and tells her he has met someone new. She slays him with a frozen leg of lamb and then, in the most delicious way possible, watches the police dispose of the evidence with a contented look on her face. Breakdown has Orson Welles' mainstay Joseph Cotten as a heartless businessman who complains when an accountant he has fired to cut costs, who had worked for him for years, has the audacity to be angry at him. Cotten's corporate manager terms this a breakdown. Driving home to New York from his Miami vacation, on a backroads detour, he becomes the victim of a prison crew accident, paralyzed and unable to speak, but narrating to us his plight as he is assumed to be dead. His contemplating being buried alive causes his own breakdown in a way that allows him to feel what the accountant, suffering a similarly symbolic fate, was going through. Finally, Poison is set on a plantation in the Asian tropics. It's a nasty half hour as the owner, with a possible poisonous snake on his belly under the covers, sweats in front of his co-owner. His partner, who wants both the business and the other man's girlfriend to himself, tries to convince the beleaguered victim that he's delusional, that this is just the effect of delirium tremors from the alcohol the partner has been forcing on him as a way of getting control of the company. The episode points out, as do the others, the ruthlessness of a society based on competition, control, and confinement. Hitch gleefully supervised this critical mayhem, and 1950s audiences eagerly tuned in each week to see the underbelly of the society exposed. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, signing off. See you next time.
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. Is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.